Well, I am glad to be here tonight. It's been a bit of a journey getting here, a bit of a route that we didn't expect. But you have to prepare yourself for the unexpected. But we're glad to be with you tonight. How long do we have, did you say?
Well, I said it would be till... I said we usually finished at 9.
Right, right.
That wasn't a fixed thing.
Right.
Without, about 9.
Right. Right. Saying that, I don't even know what time it is now at the minute. So clock to him. Right. That's okay. Well, tonight, as I think about this subject, I would want to turn your attention just to one verse that we have read together here, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's always a privilege to be with you here in your meetings, and we're glad to be here tonight, and we look to God to bless us even as we come around his word this evening. And with God's word before us, we'll turn to the Lord in prayer and seek God's face. Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for this privilege we have of assembling here, and we thank thee for the open book of God. We pray that thou wilt still our hearts in thy presence, make us to hear God's voice through his own precious word this Friday evening. O Lord, we recognize that the circumstances here tonight have not just been favorable, but yet, Lord, we gather around thy word, and we pray now that thou wilt still our hearts in thy holy presence, and that thou wilt give us a word from thyself and speak to our souls, even through thy own precious truth. Oh, we thank thee that we have the truth. We have that light that shines in the dark, please. We pray that thou wilt guide our footsteps by the truth tonight, and honour thy word for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. This word, tribulation, is a word that many Christians will shy away from tonight. They will turn away their ears from anyone who would dare to suggest that as the people of God, we might have to pass through anything like tribulation. And because of false teaching and because of personal feelings, many will desire to close out the message that indeed we have tribulation to pass through. Yes, there are seasons of tribulation to be faced. Perhaps these people will say, and I have heard them say it myself, I could never see myself being able to endure such a time of testing. I feel it would be too much for me. I would be overwhelmed. Therefore, surely the Lord would never ask me to pass through such an experience. That's the thinking. However, by so doing, they are allowing personal feelings to supersede the word. They are allowing their own personal thoughts to override what God says in his word. Therefore, rather than allowing the word to regulate what they believe or what they hear or what indeed they feel, they are resting upon their own thinking. And the simplest of perusals of many verses of Scripture will at once show the Christian that yes, God has told us, Christ has told us, that even in our day-to-day living, we will have many tribulations to pass through. I have jotted down here some verses that readily came to mind. Matthew 13, verse 21, the Lord says, "Ye hath yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended." And here the Lord foresees that we will meet with tribulation and persecution. Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Revelation 2 and the verse 10, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. These are words written to Christians. "He that is faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." These words were written to Christians. And specifically, we're being told that they will have to pass through tribulation. Revelation 1, verse 9. "I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, as in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Companion in tribulation. So as I say, the simplest of perusals of God's word will show us that this idea that Christians will not pass through tribulation has no scriptural foundation. I was just reading in my own devotional time before coming out of home this morning, and interestingly I noted a verse in 1 Peter 5 and the verse 10. We read there, "For the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So this idea that the Christian has to pass through this world and never encounter persecution, difficulty, suffering and trial is an idea certainly not picked up from the Word of God. And many points might be made upon these verses tonight that I have quoted, and others like them, to underscore this fact that, yes, as believers, in a general sense, we have to pass through tribulation. Many tribulations, varied tribulations. Tribulations of different types and kinds as we seek to be faithful to the Lord. Yet having said this, by way of general comment, we come this evening to this matter. This matter made clear by the Lord himself in our text. The scriptures and Christ, the prophets and Christ, make clear that there is a time just before the Lord's appearing, a time defined here. The words of my subject are lifted out of the scriptures, a time of great tribulation to be faced in this world by the church. It is also termed in the Old Testament scriptures as the time of Jacob's trouble. And that great chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 30 in the verse 7, we read there these words, "Alas, for that day is great." There's the word great again. "So that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it." This is a great day of trouble. Oh, in a general sense, the people of God down through history have had tribulation to face. And Jacob, Israel, have had many times of severe trial to encounter. We know this from history. But, and here's the point tonight, there's a day of great tribulation coming. That's what the scriptures are telling us. Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, we have it referred to again. Daniel 12 verse 1, "And at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one shall be found written in the book." Here this day is referred to again. And do you notice in all of these verses, in our text, the words of Christ, in the words of Jeremiah, and in the words of Daniel, there is a great likeness in the language that's used in reference to this day. It speaks about a time of great, exceeding trouble and tribulation. So while there is tribulation to be faced by God's people in a general sense, there is also this day of great tribulation. "For then shall be great tribulation," our text says tonight, "such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." There are just a number of matters that arise out of this text and out of this subject that I want to set forth here this evening. First of all, we have to establish right off the trustworthiness of the warning that is here given by Christ. Here is a warning to be depended upon, relied upon. These are not the words of someone simply seeking to make a headline. This world has seen some terrible things. The Jewish nation has had in her history some terrible times of persecution to face, as we all know. Terrible things indeed. Therefore, when the Lord says, as he does here in this place, when the Savior says himself that this period yet to come will exceed them all, then I tell you, here's a statement to be carefully and to be prayerfully pondered by each and every one of us. "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Of course, tonight a warning is only ever as credible as the source from which it originates. Who in their right mind will give any heed to a warning coming from one who has a proven a track record that is questionable, who has declared things in the past that have not materialized? Who would give ear to such a one? There were some storms on the way a few weeks back, I think most will remember, and the Met Office was very cagey. about how to speak about these storms, because lodged back there in their minds was that time they missed the storm that wrought such havoc back in the 80s. And it was as clear as crystal from how they were reacting. They knew how people were thinking, and they were very conscious of their failure in the past. Well, as far as the warning is concerned that we have before us tonight, we can have absolute assurance. This is a reliable report. This is a reliable report. The one here speaking on this matter has been tested and proved to be reliable. One of the great marks of the teaching of Christ when he was here on earth was the fact that repeated over and over again, he was taking the disciples aside and he was ministering to them, speaking to them about the cross. He told them the cross was coming. The cross was coming. He told them that he was going to die. And over again he told them this. He gave this warning to his followers. I am going to be taken and then going to be crucified. Now, his disciples fixated their attention upon the glory of his kingdom, and thereby failed to take literally the warning that suffering and shame would be endured by their Messiah. Oh yes, glory would come in its time, but first there was the cross to meet with. Yet the words of Christ and the warnings of Christ proved in the end to be true, every one of them. Every one of the warnings given by Christ proved to be literally true. Certainly, it would have been a great deal better for the disciples when that day arrived had they heeded the precise warnings that Christ gave. Oh yes, yes, as far as his own sufferings were concerned, Christ's speaking of them was fulfilled exactly as he said. Simply then, I put it to you, we are to heed this warning because of the absolute trustworthiness of the one who reveals to us this matter this evening. We can be dead on sure tonight. He knows what he's speaking about. This also is equally true of those words given by the Holy Spirit to the prophets that we have read tonight. When they have spoken likewise upon this matter, their words also are to be completely relied upon. Do you remember what Peter had to say about the prophecies of the Old Testament? If you turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter, the chapter 1, and 2 Peter, the chapter 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Say, whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart, in your hearts. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We can absolutely rely on that which Christ has said. We can absolutely rely upon what the prophets have said. That's the first thing to notice tonight. But then I want you to secondly pick up here the key orchestrator of this season of unparalleled trouble. The key orchestrator of this season of tribulation. The great hand behind the great tribulation is that, of course, of Satan himself. And then his instrument, the man of sin, the evil one, the wicked one, the personification of unrighteousness and unholiness. Over there in the book of Revelation, in the chapter 12, we read words that we do well to take notice of. Revelation, the chapter 12, the verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast in onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away off the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is the devil and his great king that rain down this season of unparalleled tribulation. Daniel points to this king. This king he calls of fierce countenance. We can read again in Daniel chapter 8 and the verse 23 these words. And in the latter time of their kingdoms, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Oh, here again, the orchestrator of this time of unparalleled persecution and tribulation is identified for us. Daniel 7, verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And off the ten horns that were in his hand, and off the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even off that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possess the kingdom. We then can expect, dear people, tonight, as these scriptures show us, these days to fall out when that great individual is manifest in the world. That individual fully under the control of the devil himself. Antichrist. The man of sin. The evil one. The wicked one. Here's the orchestrator that God identifies for us of all of this great trouble that will be manifest in the great tribulation. But then, thirdly, I want you to see the person singled out to suffer the brunt of this Satan-inspired onslaught. We have again revealed to us, as the scriptures point us in the direction from which this trouble will arise, then also the scriptures are very clear as to those who will suffer. Jacob and the church. Jacob and the church will be the chief sufferers in this season of great tribulation. Those against whom Antichrist will vent his anger are clearly defined for us in the scriptures. The Jew Israel is certainly going to be a target. In Jeremiah, as we have already noted, that day of unparalleled evil and trouble is called specifically the day of Jacob's trouble. The day of Jacob's trouble. We have referred to the words already. We have quoted the words already. Alas, for that day is great, Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. A key verse as you come to consider this subject. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Mark those words tonight and compare them with the words of Christ in our text. So that none is like it. So that none is like it. Surely you see there cannot be 2 days where it is said that each of them is the worst of days. So we have to come to the conclusion here that Jeremiah on the one hand and Christ on the other hand are both speaking of the same day because of how this day is described. There's none to be compared like it. This day of Jacob's trouble is the day of great tribulation in our text. Then again, it is seen in the verses that we have already read in this meeting that this is a day when war is made against the saints, those who keep the commandments of God, those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there's no doubt about this matter. The scriptures specifically identify for us who are the sufferers here. Jacob and Israel. In this last great onslaught of the devil. This onslaught against God and righteousness and truth. And all that is heavenly and all that is holy. Jacob. And the church are going to be brought together, joined in suffering here upon earth. Something more we need to notice. The scriptures are very clear on the duration of this hell-inspired ordeal. That is another matter that's made very clear to us from what we find revealed in the scriptures. The duration of this great tribulation. These are matters made clear to us by the Holy Ghost, made clear to us by the Saviour. And I cannot understand why Bible believers therefore take no interest in these things. If God has seen fit to reveal this matter to us, as He has, if He has seen fit to speak so explicitly about this matter, so clearly about this matter, as I think you will have to agree with me, these verses that we have been reading tonight certainly speak clearly on this matter. God having done this, then it behoves us to take notice of what God is saying. The day will dawn, yes, for sure, the day is coming when all of these things will actually take place. Oh, let's not make the mistake of the disciples who refused to stop and to listen to Christ as He spoke about the cross. Let us remember that just exactly as Christ predicted, He was nailed to the cross. And so this day of great tribulation will arrive. But let's understand this tonight. It is of very short duration. Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath what? But a short time. It's of short duration. It is only a short time that the wicked one has to tread under his feet God's own. The verse following our text here in Matthew 24 shows us this as well. And except those days, listen to it, should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. 3.5 years is the duration that this terrible reign of terror will last. But rest assured tonight that the evil one and his antichrist shall come to his end. Daniel 11 tells us, the last verse of that great chapter tells us, there are words that should be indelibly imprinted upon the hearts of the children of God. He shall, that is Antichrist, shall come to his end, and none shall help him. He who had the world at his feet, he who trampled the church and the people of God, he who vented his rage against Jacob, he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. The end of all iniquity shall come. Her day of triumph, in reality, is short-lived. Our God has already measured her days. He has appointed those days. How sobering. How sobering this all is. This is the revelation that Christ is giving to us. One last thing I will say tonight, and I'm sure my time has quickly gone. The end of this terrible time of tribulation is marked, please notice this, it's marked by the manifestation of the Son of God Himself coming from heaven in glory and in power. How do we know tonight that this day hasn't arrived yet? Because this day ends with Christ intervening in power in this world. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 21 we read these words. Listen to them. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. See the picture here? War was made against the saints, and Satan and Antichrist prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. Oh, the prevailing continued only until the Ancient of Days came. Who was that? Or who is that? That's the Saviour. And that, again, fits in so exactly with the words of Christ here in our chapter, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, where we read those words immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars that fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, what shall happen? The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And the verse 30 we read, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. That's what brings these 8 days to an end. The coming again of Christ. Oh, the great tribulation is still future, because it ends. This short period of satanic dominance, this short period when Satan vents his wrath against all that is called God, this short day will come to an end with the coming again of Christ, the bringing in of an altogether different day, a day of rest, a day of peace, a day of blessing, a day of glory, Christ's glory, a glory he will share with those who passed through the tribulation. That's the great hope the church has. The day is coming when we shall share with Christ in the glory of his kingdom. May the Lord tonight bless his word to our hearts. Oh, there is a great tribulation coming. But we mustn't despair. We ought not to despair, because it is but a very short duration. We must not think that matters are out of control, for they're not. The evil one will come to his end. Remember that. He will come to his end. The end that God has appointed for him. And none shall help him. Praise the Lord, none shall help him. Christ will be glorified. Oh, let us set our hearts upon Christ tonight. Let us set our hearts upon Christ's word tonight. These warnings are given so that we might be prepared, so that we might understand. God tells us all of these things before they happen, so that we be not taken by surprise. Remember the disciples and the terrible mistake they made by overlooking the reality of what Christ was saying to them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.